I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, hello. Sportive is back. It's the name of this podcast. I'm Brandon. Whole crew's here. Stu. Hello, Stu.
Hey, B.
Jonathan.
Hello, Brandon.
Hi, Marth. And we also have Chicken Fingers for a few minutes here. Hi, Chicken.
What's up, you pieces of shit?
Joe, that's a new one. Whoa.
Wow. Aggressive.
Trying out some new stuff.
Yeah. He's in a remote location in a car. That's dedication right there.
He's trying out his new stuff. He's standing next to a stool, and he's got a piece of paper on the stool, and he's just going through the new things, going through the new bits.
Let's see. What else do I have here? Squinting at it. Well, we've just got him for a little bit here. We have a lot of sports to talk about, but we wanted to start out with our world famous top six bit. So I'm going to throw it over to Stu.
Oh, thanks, Brandon. Hey, for this week's top six, I wanted to cover some ground that is not necessarily covered in a lot of podcasts. These are the top six Minnesota North Stars from the 1980-81 season.
Go fuck me and the goat ass.
Oh, man. Oh,
hell yes.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Now, yeah, for you youngsters out there, this team played in the Stanley Cup Finals, got absolutely demolished by the New York Islanders of Mike Bossy and et cetera and so forth. But before that, they were a really, you know, gritty, scrappy group of guys, played at the old Met Center. It's where your stepdad goes to IKEA with your mom. They come home crying.
He doesn't. She certainly does.
Yes. So coached by the late Glenn Sonmore, great Minnesota hockey legend. These are your top six Minnesota North Stars, 1980-1981. Number six, Craig Hartsburg.
Oh, number four, my favorite of the era.
Oh, just a scrapper. Oh, just
solid.
Yep. Went on to be a coach in the NHL.
He did. He was Jonas Brodin before Jonas Brodin was Jonas Brodin. Just rock solid, not flashy, stay at home, Rock of Gibraltar defenseman.
Hell yeah. John, do you have anything to add?
No. Craig Hartsburg is a good start, but where do you go from there?
Yeah, wow, well, five more, huh?
I can't believe there's five more better, but I'm sure there are.
There are.
We trust the top six.
Number five, Mike Eaves.
Oh, Mike fuck that. Eaves.
No.
No.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Immediately back
this
down.
Podcast
no?
is over.
Okay. Never mind.
Well, you know why.
We know why. I know why.
And, well, how does it – are we talking about in 1981 top five or today? I'm saying are we teleporting back in time and making this list as though him coaching the Wisconsin Badgers never happened?
Because it hadn't happened yet. We are teleporting.
Teleporting. Fair enough. All right. I'm fine.
No, I get that. I get that. And, of course, this will cause controversy later with somebody that I DQ'd from the list, and I apologize in advance.
Oh, no. This is terrible.
We'll cover that before
I think one. I might know who you're talking about.
You absolutely know
I who have I'm a guess, about. But okay.
Number four. Gordy Roberts.
Yeah.
Gordo.
Another defenseman. Mm-hmm.
Oh, just scrappy, gutty, gritty. Oh,
he was young at the time.
Yep.
He must have been pretty young. I couldn't tell you how young.
He was young. He was 24, according to the Hockey Reference.
Yeah, which I guess wasn't that young at the time, but
Canadian. How he winner. Never be. How he never became Prime Minister of Canada, I'll never understand.
He got the name for it.
His name is Gordy Roberts.
Gordy Roberts?
Great name for
he
it.
Was, I think he was the last player to smoke on the ice. I don't know for sure, but I'd have to
how long did Gump Worsley last in the league?
He's still playing, John.
Still smoking cigs back in the net.
Yep. Number three, Kurt Giles.
If we're going to say fuck Mike Eaves for Wisconsin, then we may have to say fuck Kurt Giles.
I know, yep. I know. Again, we're
talking about it.
He also, I can say from 400 years ago when I covered high school hockey a couple of times, worst quote in high school hockey. Absolutely nothing to say. I'm not sure he knows English.
He might have been pretty young at that time, too.
Yeah. I mean, the youngest guy on the team was Neil Broughton. He was 20. So
Kurt Giles was 23.
I see it was Neil Broughton's birthday today.
Up top, everybody. Broughton brothers. Rozo, let's go. Yep. Number two, Steve Payne.
Yeah.
Steve Payne. God, just had a hell of a year. Number three in scoring on the team, I believe.
Really?
Just, yeah, they named Payne Avenue named after him. Not really.
I think that's right. That's correct.
I just looked it up on Wikipedia. It's true. Yeah. It checks out.
Look it up. It might be true. Now I'm going to do the DQ. And again, this is I guarantee Chicken knows who
I don't
DQ'd.
Know. I have a guess, but I don't know why you'd DQ him. I just bet you DQ'd Gary Sargent for some reason.
Did not DQ me.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. It wasn't him. Okay. Never mind.
God, he almost made the cut. I had to DQ Dino Cicerelli.
Oh, because of the wiener thing?
For showing his hog to his neighbor.
Wiener thing. I knew it.
Yeah, you got to do it, man. And I know that wasn't in 1981. I realize I'm a hypocrite here. I'm accepting that I'm wrong. But I couldn't, man.
This feels like a baby Hitler type thing. Like, I don't know.
Put your pants on when you get in the paper. Come on, you're stepping out to get the Star Trib or the Pioneer Press. Yep. Put your pants on.
He was so bullshit. Yeah, I just get the paper. What? Why did I do this every day?
I just want to say that the youth of today, the Minnesota sports loving youth of today, even going back to like Randy Moss pushing a traffic cop with his car, they do not understand the greatness of the 1980s for Minnesota sports athletes doing ridiculous things. Between Dino Cicerelli taking his pants off outside to Keith Millar getting in trouble with the cops and telling them, my arms are more powerful than your guns. Imagine if that happened today. Imagine if Vikings defensive tackle came out with that. Harrison Phillips out there yelling at the...
Everson Griffin did a pretty good job. He did some work. Oh, goodness. Okay. Anyway, we're on to number one. And again, it's an obvious one, but sometimes the obvious answer is the right
obvious. I'm sitting here trying to, I've got a handful of them that I might guess, but I don't know who.
It's Bobby Smith.
Oh, backhand Bob. All right.
Backhand Bob. Led the team in goals and assists. He was a fucking monster in that season.
14th place in teeth.
And again, they weren't the only, let me pull up their record here. They weren't that great in the regular season. They were, oh goodness, come on, sorry, scrolling here. 35, 28, and 17. So they were not like lights out. They
Is
were
that losses second?
Losses second, yes. They were third.
That might be the best year in North Star's history.
That's true. They were third in the Adams division, your favorite division, John. You've said this countless times.
Countless times.
Similar to Payne Avenue being named after Steve Payne, they designed the state capitol rotunda after Bob Smith's nose. The size of his nose.
He had a formidable schnoz.
Broken once or twice.
Goodness. Some other names from that.
It was like the letter Z on his face.
Yes. just to make Chicken happy, some other names from the team. Obviously, the goalies were Gilles Meloche and Don Beaupre.
Danny Beaupre. Forklift. Owns a forklift rental business now. Yep,
right off of 280. If you need a forklift, he's your man.
That's Donnie Beaupre's? Oh, man.
His kid's the emergency goalie for Minnesota.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. I have heard that. Yes. All right, I got to go rent some forklifts tomorrow.
It's a scissor lift. For what? Nothing.
Nothing. What are you using it for?
Never know.
Other names that you might be like just do something for a couple people on this podcast. Tommy McCarthy was on that team. Al McAdam.
Yes.
Al McAdam.
We got Steve Kristoff. Ron Zanussi, my personal favorite. And of course, the bruiser himself, Jack Carlson, was on the team.
That's the one I was thinking of. I was wondering if you'd mention him. Sure.
Yeah, he's pretty low on the stats except for penalty minutes somehow. But yeah, so
those, I got to say, I would be very happy if, you know, we do the top six every time we do a podcast, but if we also read the entire roster of one edition of the Minnesota North Stars, I would be absolutely
that would
fine
be
with
the
that.
Greatest. Yes.
Yeah.
John, that's the whole set. We'll make that podcast. We'll just read
the roster.
Read the roster. Oh, yeah. I remember that guy. I would be very happy. Sounds enjoyable to me.
The 1987 North Stars.
Somewhere Brad Maxwell is pissed off because I forgot to talk about him.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Glad you were here to hear it. So.
Never fails to disappoint.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I think we also need to now transition to a slightly less interesting for Chicken, possibly, but timely. John, we had to talk World Cup, don't we? We got to start there.
Hey, Chicken's all there for the World Cup. He was on it all day.
He was locked into
every game during the on a Tuesday. When I don't have meetings, I'll watch every single one. And I happen to have the TV on. I will watch every time if you email me and remind me or text me.
Okay.
If those few things were to
go
out,
with a daily email reminder. Here are the games we're watching today, Chicken.
I'm in.
Love it.
John, let me hear it. How'd you feel?
Well, my heart rate was about 270. For the entire second half, because that's just the way that this works. I don't know. It's an exciting. I have no words to describe it. It's been so long since this happens, and it's just that's what soccer's like anyway. Is sitting there and your team has a 1-0 lead, and you're just sitting and waiting for somebody to kick you in the face with a boot. And
Maury Povich got kneed in the crotch.
Yeah, he did.
During the game?
Yeah.
American hero. He got the goal, and then he just sitting there in the
He took one. Yeah. Took one of the seeds.
I was genuinely like, Maury Povich was at the World Cup.
Oh no.
When did they who need him in the balls, Derry? Why did they do that?
He was celebrating at a bar.
The father.
Okay, John, take me through it.
Take you through it. And what did you watch the game, Brandon?
I sort of half watched part of it. What the story that I'm trying to piece together in the 20 minutes before this podcast after coaching basketball is that we had a really nice start in the first half and then shit got really hairy in the second half. Is that about right?
That's about right. We just like the game against Wales where we took a halftime lead and then tried to run out the clock for an entire half. It stops working all that well. And they were not really set up for the last 20-25 minutes to try to get that second goal. You know, a lot of the time what you hope for is once they start throwing guys forward, then you can hit them on the counterattack. But it didn't help that Pulisic was off at halftime and they put in Haji Wright towards the end of the game after Josh Sargent hurt himself up at forward, and he was terrible. Wright was absolutely terrible. So it really just turned into a lot of hoping that you know, you're sitting there and you're watching on the screen and you can't quite tell the angle the ball is going at, so you see the ball go up and you hope that the guy you think is about to head it is about to head it and he's not going to miss it or fall over or whatever. So it just is like sitting there with somebody has a gun pointed at you the whole second half. And maybe it has bullets in it, maybe it doesn't, but just miserable.
Yeah, I know that, John, you love when we talk soccer that we immediately try to compare it to other sports to frame it up so it makes sense to us, Rubes.
It's like I just one like
of your favorite.
I just like it when we talk soccer and somebody else says something during my usual 20 minutes of arguing with myself and just talking the whole time. So the fact that you're still paying attention is good for me.
Yeah, so I was trying to watch the second half. To me, does this analogy make sense? It's like, if the Vikings were up by 4 in the fourth quarter and the other team had like 6 possessions of fourth and goal that they somehow never scored on any time, it was exhilarating because it worked out, but it was fucking miserable at times to watch because it was chance after chance that looked, there were multiple times, as you, I think, mentioned, that it seemed like it was very obviously going to be tied up.
Yeah, it's,
so it was really heart wrenching. Like,
the Vikings are up by 4, but the other team, for some reason, has 153 downs to try to score. Yeah,
some weird loophole in the rules.
Yeah, it's like, all right, it's 103rd in goal. 53 more stops. And
yeah,
John, first half, the refs fucked us.
Oh,
fuck yeah. They got us. So, why?
So they got us mad. They called offsides on a goal that we scored.
Yes.
And horseshit call. Horseshit.
Horseshit.
Fucking horseshit. They've got review, video review, and they failed to use it. The TV coverage also just failed to even show it for like half an hour. They just never showed it. Never re-showed the play. But they, so you've got Toronto, you've got the review process, but you don't even use it. Why? Give me an explanation, and don't you dare say they didn't want to interrupt the flow of the game, because I was watching. And
it was right before halftime.
You better not say
that. I didn't understand that one either, because pretty often when they call the situation room in Toronto, these checks take forever as somebody sits there, and usually it's like they spend a minute and a half standing there. And all that's on TV is the ref, you know, keeps pointing to his ear, and then, you know, a player will walk over and he'll try to get him away, and then he'll point to his ear some more, and it'll take like a minute and a half, and only then will there be a decision like, oh, maybe I should go look at the monitor or whatever. So that's what I expected was going to happen after Tim Weah scored. But it really was like Tim Weah scored and they barely got a chance to even show a replay, and the poorly angled replay on the broadcast, and it was like, yep, that's fine. He was definitely offside. Let's keep going. And I don't know. I mean, they've been doing during this World Cup, they've been putting out these graphics, like these computer graphics that supposedly show, oh, this is where this guy was and this is where this guy is. And you can see from this computer graphic that his elbow was offside or whatever, you know, your elbow is not offside, but you know what I mean? His kneecap was offside. But it's not like if you watch like a tennis game, you watch tennis and they do these reviews and the camera comes up on the screen and you see the computer generated ball landing or not landing on the line. It's immediate. But it's not in soccer. It's not like, oh, we're going to put that up on the offside and here's the matrix graphics that'll show this guy going this way and this guy going this way and we'll show you the offside. It's just this after the fact thing. And call me cynical, but my guess is that if there was a graphic that had shown, oh, Tim Weah was onside, but we accidentally screwed the U.S. out of the goal, they'd be like, all right, let's see where that guy is. Take your mouse, and I want you to drag him over until he's offside. Because there would be no benefit to anyone by showing a graphic that showed him onside. So I really don't think it's that fast. And the fact that they just went, bink, yep, he's offside, keep going. I don't know.
Conspiracy.
I also
add 17 minutes of extra time in the second half. So I was
horse shit. Right?
Funny how that works out.
Just absolute dog shit.
When are we going to catch a break?
Did we? I think we talked on the podcast one time. Maybe we didn't talk on the podcast one time, but there was a whole discussion about how much extra time there or how much stoppage time there should be at the end of each half. And somebody went through the stopwatch or something and they pointed out, this might have been 5:38. They pointed out that in actuality, there should be 17 minutes of stoppage time at the end of both halves or whatever. And I remember saying, and again, I don't remember whether it was on this podcast or somewhere else. I remember saying the only reason not to do that is that everyone would hate it and be absolutely pissed off about it at all times. And somehow in this tournament, they finally decided to get serious about stoppage time. So at the end of every half, it's like at the end of the first half, usually it's a minute. Now it's 6 minutes every time. And at the end of the game, usually at the end of the game, it's like 5 minutes. Wow, that's a long time. 5 minutes is nothing in this World Cup. If you're under 10, it's like, wow, I don't know. Probably should be some more added time on here. So,
and that's just starting in this World Cup, John.
Yeah, it really has been just this World Cup that I've seen this. And I don't know if this is going to be like the thing going forward, or if it's really just somehow at this World Cup, they had a directive to be like, listen, we really mean it now. This whole time when you were supposed to be adding on this time, we mean for serious to add on this time now. I don't know what's going on.
Is that good news for us moving forward, or does it really kind of depend?
Yeah, break down
the Dutch
in Netherlands.
Yeah, here, let's hear it.
Because I might have to run soon. Yeah. I don't like that they get to wear orange. I think that's horseshit too.
I don't like their fucking red white shoes. That gives them an unfair advantage.
No, they're red.
They kick the ball so hard.
Bullshit.
It's nice fucking tulips, you bitches.
Yeah. They're making sense.
I agree with all this.
We asked John to break it down, but we just did it all. Yep. What could he possibly add to that analysis? Wooden shoes, tulips, and orange uniforms.
Burp Lyleman.
Yeah, the Netherlands is good, but are good is good.
I don't
are good.
Whatever they want, I'll do the opposite. What would they say?
Am good.
be good.
Anyway, they're good, but they're not amazing. And you could go a lot of ways with that, but I think the United States is good, but not amazing. So I don't see any reason that they can't compete. They've gone into the knockout rounds in other years, specifically when they were playing against Belgium in 2014, where I was a little bit like, this is not going to go that well.
How many teams are left?
By the time they play again, they'll be down to 16.
16?
Yep.
How many countries are there in the world?
205.
I knew you'd know.
I don't know if I'm right, but it sounds right, doesn't it?
Shit. I'm not even going to Google it.
Why would you do that? I wouldn't have second guessed you. Just say 205.
I just didn't want you to call me Rand F. and McNally again.
That's good.
I don't know what the correct answer is. And it's different, like how many countries are in the United Nations versus how many countries are in FIFA. By the way, so when the USA played Wales last week, I put out a stupid joke online, because when Wales plays as the country of Wales, it's not a country, by the way. It's not a country. It's part of a country. It's not a country. It's a.
They don't use vowels, just consonants. It's fucking
whenever they just play as Wales, they use something else for their national anthem. And I put a stupid joke on Twitter about, you know, are we all going to, is nobody going to talk about how this isn't actually the national anthem? It'd be like playing the Yellow Rose of Texas.
Is it a Tom Jones song? I can't. Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody famous from Wales.
That's
Sex Bomb.
You
know, that's it.
Uh-huh.
It's Tom Jones.
Is he from Wales? Did I get it?
Yeah, Tom Jones Wales. And Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Everyone knows Jones.
It's those two.
Just play.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
It's a great song.
Isn't Michael Douglas Welsh too?
The fuck are you talking about?
Nah,
I don't know.
He's from America.
Nah.
Oh no, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, his wife is.
Okay, I was trying to
Roald
remember.
Dahl.
Jesus, I was God, trying to, John, get it.
I
together.
Was trying to remember. Hold on, Stu. Just stop
no!
talking for a minute.
No,
Michael
no,
Douglas.
This is bullshit.
What the fuck, John?
I was trying to remember the following dumb joke. I think it was a Saturday Night Live joke. When Tom Jones played at the wedding of Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, and the joke was they had Tom Jones do it because, like the bride, he's Welsh, and like the groom, he's old and creepy.
That's good. That's good.
Took a while to get there, though.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah,
long road, but it was worth
anyway,
the walk.
So I put this dumb joke out on the social media where I said, are we all not going to talk about how this is not the national anthem of Wales? Because God Save the King is the national anthem of Wales, because Wales is part of the United Kingdom. Oh, a few Welsh people found that tweet and were not happy with it.
That's you don't want the man. Welsh sorry. No. Coming at you.
They really were very sarcastic people. Responses.
No use great
vowels. Use vowels. FCKY. That's all they said to you.
Sons of bitches.
195 countries.
Welsh on my dad's side, so I should probably be careful. I'm probably getting an uncle mad, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, they're always mad.
There's 195 countries based on what, Brandon?
Based on Google.com. Mm. In the world.
I'll be dead and buried in the ground before I recognize Portugal.
Damn right.
It knows why. Portugal knows why. Mm-hmm. This is from worldometers.info, and we know better than to doubt that. They're the authority. That's 193 countries that are members of the United Nations and two that are non-member observer states, which are, of course, let's all say in unison, the Holy See and the state of Palestine.
All right. There's 211 countries in the FIFA ranking.
Yeah, because you got Wales in there. A bunch
Wales
of bullshit.
Wales just gets to do whatever. Yeah.
Oh, we're a country now because we say so.
Fucking Candy Ojai County is in there. Like, what? Where, how did you get your team? It didn't make sense.
Lake Lillian is a nation state. Fuckers.
It's just Doug. It's Doug out there with a ball.
Doug from Lake Lillian.
Yeah, got a free trip.
I got to say, the U.S. Virgin Islands and the British Virgin Islands are both in the bottom four in the rankings right now. But I'm proud to say the U.S. Virgin Islands is ahead of the British Virgin Islands.
USA, Virgin Islands. USA, Virgin Islands. Okay, so you think, I just looked up some odds on, again, I'm using Google, and I don't know if this is a great authority, but it looks to me that the Vegas odds are about 40% chance USA beats the Netherlands.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'll take that.
So 40-60, all right.
Yeah, and it's single elimination going forward, right, John?
That's correct.
Cool.
Hmm.
Yep.
And when is the match, John?
It is on Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
Whoa.
Holy criminy.
That's so early.
Get tuned up at that and then roll right into all of the college conference championship games.
That's a day.
You don't have to see your family at all on Saturday. Just watch sports. It'll be great.
I don't know how. I need your help. Maybe you could call my wife, Stu, and tell her that I won't be around on Saturday. I'm afraid. But Chicken was so afraid he's just gone. Chicken's gone.
Chicken had a bounce.
He went to the Ruby Tuesday at Rosedale Center. They had a TV there, and he had to go.
I've always wanted to get drunk at a Chili's. Why not do it on Saturday?
Are you going to the airport?
No, there's one in Roseville. There's Stu.
Oh, goodness. I think we lost Chicken, didn't we?
We did.
Yes,
lose
he
chicken.
Had to go.
Chicken's gone.
Man.
He literally was talking to us in the parking lot waiting for his son to get done with hockey practice, and his son got in his car and off he went.
Yeah. Who are you talking to, Dad?
Yeah.
You don't know anything about those men.
Yeah.
No. Just these men I met on the internet, you know.
Just some internet men.
Like normal people do.
John, I think getting drunk at a Chili's seems like a accomplishable thing for you to add to your bucket list. You got to have a couple of easy ones
right
on there.
By a mall, John. You live by a mall.
Yeah, like what I think at some point, like malls. Drop the kids off at the mall for some Christmas in a few years, maybe not now, for some Christmas shopping, and like I'll be back in a couple hours, and then just I mean, it's two for ones all day every day. I'm almost positive. You could have
this
six
is
beers.
Reminding me that in 2006 during the World Cup, when the U.S. was playing Italy, for some reason, they had a huge screen at the old Chicago in Roseville, and my roommates wanted to go there, and so we went and we watched that game in an old Chicago, and I drank too much, and a horrified middle-aged man, probably about my age now, was there as a six-year-old, and some of the things I said were not meant for consumption by kindergartners.
Not for six-year-olds.
Yeah.
John, was that your favorite experience watching a World Cup game?
I bet it was not.
Today, you mean?
Like, being with your buds at a huge screen at Old Chicago, besides the six-year-old incident, yeah, that's not great. But that sounds like a pretty fun, like, actual time watching a match. Versus today, I'm guessing you were at your house, right? Which was still
I was
very fun because they won. But what's your favorite? Like, what's been the best for you?
I bet it was Landy Cakes in 2010.
Well, I mean, that was maybe the best game of, certainly the best soccer game, I think, that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. The most I've celebrated. But it's funny, in terms of watching these games, I'm not sure I enjoy it more when there's other people around. This is more like lock myself in the basement. The children aren't allowed to talk to me. No one can know that I'm about to die.
Now, John, I think I know the answer to this, but I want to make sure. Are you like that with all sports?
No.
There's a couple that's more communal that you would actually have more fun. Let's say we somehow were able, and we're not going to, but at least this Saturday, we're able to, the four of us, effort a time to watch sports together. What mm-hmm. sports would be super fun for us all to watch together versus like, actually, I don't think so. Like the World Cup, well, you're saying, I don't think so.
Here's the thing. It really, for me, matters the importance of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, every time the Vikings play in a conference championship game, then it's like, the fewer people that are around, the better.
Okay.
For me.
Stakes are too high.
And if they ever played in a Super Bowl in my lifetime, I'm just going to the emergency room and watching from there. I assume it'll be on there. But I think probably most of my family is just going to go to the ER and be like, listen, we're going to try to stay quiet and
just randomly
we'll call a code if we need to, but
just check in preemptively. Just get me on the list probably in a couple hours.
Yeah. Why are you here? I'm about to have a heart attack.
I'll be having,
you know, you're about to have a heart attack. Well, the Vikings start in like 10 minutes. So
it's going
to
be a heart attack.
I'd like to be here when the heart attack happens rather than at my home.
So the best thing would probably be like a Twins game in August when the weather's perfect of like, yeah, I just want to hang out anyway. Or like, a regular old Wild game.
Any regular season game, I'm a delight.
Okay. Yep.
Most playoff games, I'm fine. But like I say, the farther the Vikings get in the playoffs, the more awful I become to be around.
Right. Well, yes. Yeah, and
this
also,
January is going to be rough.
Ugh.
This January is not going to be great.
It's going to be tense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to be good.
Okay, John, so we got off track there a little bit. I was curious about your...
Yep.
So are you going to be watching Saturday? I'm guessing you're just going to be at home, right?
No, I think I'll just skip it, Brandon. I don't think I want to watch this one.
Nah, not for you.
Yeah, I think I'll probably just be at home. I mean, if you want to meet up and go to Stu's house with me, that'd be fine, too.
Okay, I'll let you know.
We could go see what Dana, friend of the show, Dana Wessel, is up to. Mm-hmm. He was completely fucking miserable during the U.S. Wales game. Just eyewitness reports from Michael Rand tell me he was basically wrapped in a scarf and just shivering in the corner the entire match. So it's just Jesus. The people who are committed to U.S. soccer, is the World Cup is both the greatest and worst thing that has happened to them.
Yeah, well, that is, I'm proud of him for being in public and acting like that. Because most people are probably more like John, who's like, I know that I shouldn't be in public right now. Dana's like, I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit. I'm a monster. I don't care. Accept me for who I am. So, yeah, it's
a monster in public.
Watching I'm enjoying it too, because you know I'm happy for my friends, and it's you know, it's fun to see these things happen. It's the giant fucking event that everyone's involved in, and I like that part of it, but.
Yeah,
man, my friends are just dying. My friend Norm from Twitter is a fan of the Japanese team, and when they came back from 1-0 to take out Germany the day before Thanksgiving, I watched that second half with him at the Blackheart in St. Paul, and I have never seen anybody just lose their goddamn mind.
No way.
Just running around the bar with his scarf, whipping it like Indiana Jones. I mean, just... It's just real premium sicko behavior. And I really endorse feeling something that much in your life.
Yeah. Unless you just get to watch somebody act like that.
That great for you, even though it's completely just, it's fucking soccer/football. It's not that big a deal, but you feel it that hard. That's an amazing thing. And when it works out like that, I just felt so good for him. And I hope things go well on Saturday, John. I really do. This is one of the youngest teams in the tournament. I believe. Right. And yeah, if they can make it to the final eight, that's an accomplishment for this team from everything that I have read.
And a lot has been made of the youth of the team, but I was thinking about this during the game today as I was going over nightmare scenarios in my head. It's not like, well, they're a young team and they just need to get this playoff experience. And if they don't make it, they can come back next year. It's four more years.
Yeah. Who knows?
That's so long from now.
Who knows what country is going to get all the slave labor to build all of those stadiums for us to watch the games in? No one knows. It'll probably be China.
It is funny how boring the 2026 World Cup bid was, because the other ones like South Africa and Russia, and it's all like, oh, we're building 45 new stadiums, even in Brazil, which you would think would have plenty of soccer stadiums. It was like, well, we're going to build one in the jungle. And the U.S. is like, yeah, we're going to take the stadiums we have that have 85,000 seats and we're going to put the games there. And it's going to be the best attended World Cup of all time again.
Mm-hmm. Fuckers. USA.
That's right. Baby. That's a good preview, John. Anything else to add?
Good preview, John.
I mean, we could just talk World Cup. Who wants to talk about Senegal?
Billy Ocean? No, he's from Trinidad. God damn it. That ended up being accidentally racist. I'm sorry.
We got like 40 minutes into the podcast this week.
That was pretty St. Cloud right there, Stu.
Yeah, I apologize. I love good Billy pull. Ocean.
I had nothing, so.
You ever heard the song Lover Boy by Billy Ocean?
Can you sing it for me?
Tear banger. Wanna be your lover, lover, lover boy. Wanna be your lover, lover. That is so good.
Stu's falsetto is one of the underrated treasures of the Minneapolis St. Paul area.
The real bummer part about Chicken After Checkout is he would have done harmonies on that.
I'm going to add it to a playlist right now.
Oh, you got it. Seriously. Lover Boy, Billy Ocean. Look it up. Look it up, buddy.
Adding it to my current favorites.
It's so, so good. Do you guys want to talk about the Vikings at all?
Yes.
Or do you want to talk about Karl-Anthony Towns?
I got the wrong song here. Here's what I pulled up.
What the hell's that?
Turn Me Loose.
Turn Me Loose by Lover Boy.
That is not what I wanted to add to that playlist.
That is Lover Boy, but it's the band from Canada. The gritty vocals of Mike Reno. Oh.
That sounded very MacGruber-esque.
Robin bass of Paul Dean.
All right. What of Paul Dean?
Bass, John. Come on.
Bass. Bass.
You need to be celebrating the World Cup on Saturday, John. This kind of filth talk isn't
ready.
So we have to talk about two other teams.
Yes.
The Vikings and the Timberwolves. Which one do you want to start with?
I mean, it's your call, Brandon. Happy or sad?
Let's talk about the Vikings first.
Let's go Vikings.
All right.
Go Vikings.
Go Vikings.
Holy shit. That's incredible. What a run. Can you believe all we needed to do was get rid of Mike Zimmer? And all of this glory would be unleashed upon us.
God, they must have hated that guy. This team isn't that much different.
Yeah.
It's the same team. It's a credit to Rick Spielman, obviously, for his team
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They have no fucking depth. If they get, if a couple guys get
any turned ankle, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. If Jefferson or if Kirk Cousins gets hurt, they're fucked.
Oh,
I realize
yeah.
I just said that, but yeah, it's, yeah, it's, mm-hmm. it's wild, man. They're going to get like the number two or three seed in the NFC. They're going to mm-hmm. have a home mm-hmm. playoff game. They're, it's, they probably could if they could absolutely go to the championship game. I don't know if they'll get to the Super Bowl, but they could absolutely get to the last weekend of the playoffs. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they're good. They're good and they're lucky and they're fairly well coached. I mean, it's wild. I don't know about this, man.
John, gotta, is, I mean,
look at John's, if you could see John's face right now, he's just like, he doesn't understand. He's like me. I don't understand.
It doesn't make any.
You got to say
none, that none of it computes.
We made a lot of jokes about Camp Happy Fun Time this summer, but it sure seems to work. Mm-hmm. This culture thing that we're all going to just treat each other like human beings and try to be nice to each other. It does seem to be working right now. Now I recognize that mm-hmm. part that it's sort of it which came first kind of thing. Like, would mm-hmm. this culture work so well if they lost every week? It probably
no, obviously
it,
not.
It it's, wouldn't seem so good, but
right.
They what was it? They played 14 one-score games last year and lost 8 of them, and this year yeah. they played 9 one-score games or 8 one-score games and won all 8 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little concerning the first 8-2 team to have a negative point differential. I didn't love that. Not great.
Not I thought it was pretty funny.
Sustainable, but it's also they're 9-2, so it has sustained quite a bit.
You don't have to sustain that much in the NFL.
Yeah, it's just it's sometimes that's what happens. They just it's odd. It's so weird.
It's weird like, that they're 9-2 and not very good. That's weird to me.
They are good.
But they're
not dominant.
Did you see Mac Jones throwing all over them on Thanksgiving night?
Yep. I saw Josh Allen do it. I saw Taylor Heineke do it. I saw them all do it, but they all lost.
Brandon,
at some point, you have to admit to yourself that the Minnesota Vikings are good.
Brandon, have you looked up the fancy stats about where our defense ranks in terms of what's the stat you usually use? Is it yards given up or is there something else?
Yeah, let me see if I can look it up real quick. What are the fancy stats?
Offense, too. I think it'd be interesting on both sides.
Yeah, I'm going to see what I can do here. It might be like behind a paywall now. Sons of bitches.
It's just, I mean, I'll say this. It's just weird to me that they've given up 500 yards a game and the offense has been in 3rd and 5 on every single possession they've had at least 4 times, and they're 9-2.
Yeah.
They're good.
I'm still trying to find a new spot. Football Outsiders, those sons of bitches.
Oh, you actually have to pay for that now?
Yeah, I'm not paying for this shit.
We'll talk about it on every podcast, but we're not paying for it.
They're 12th in points. They're 21st in points against. They are in total 11th, the 11th best team in the NFL, according to Football Reference, which is run by Hans, as we know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually seems about right. They're in the top half.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're good.
538 has them as the 10th best team in the NFL. It's got them as the 4th best team in the NFC.
538 also thought Dr. Oz was going to win the Senate in Pennsylvania. Fuck Nate Silver twice.
They've got Cowboys 1, Eagles 2, 49ers 3, us 4.
Sure.
49ers 3.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Niners have come on, really. Their defense has been really, really good the last month or so.
All right.
They're going to be the sexy team to come out as a low seed from the NFC.
Yes. They are like, isn't that them like most years?
Yeah. Because everyone loves Kyle Shanahan, except for when it's like, you know, in the 2-minute warning and he like loses his mind. Because he actually like he gets 8 yards of play running the ball, like just a mad scientist. And then like it gets close and he just turtles. It's weird. Everybody wants to love Kyle Shanahan and then he fucks up. It's basically like the Sportive podcast.
So. That's right. Damn it.
It is what we're like.
That is very true. So we're 9-2. The interesting thing too about, and kind of ruined my bit here, Stu, by saying fuck Nate Silver, but they have percentage odds on the rest of the games. Now, obviously it's completely like, who knows what's going to happen in week 17, but as it stands right now, they are going to be predicted. They're going to be favorites for every single game remaining this season. Unless something crazy happens.
They're a good football team. They should be favored.
So 15-2 seems insane, but they're going to be, they're certainly favorites this week against the Jets, who are good. They'll be favorites next week against the Lions, who are bad, but not awful. The weird thing about it is just looking at the projections right now, is they're basically going to be like 3-point favorites the rest of the season. So all close games for the most part, couple, maybe not so much. But it seems like it's going to be an entire season of nail biters.
Yep. Every game has been torture. Every single game has been torture.
So if you had to guess right now, it'd be what? 12-5. They go 3-3 over like 13-4, just because at some point they're going to
13-4 seems about right. Just for
unbelievable. Teams,
it's fucking crazy.
Just thinking about that.
Yep. They'll have a 2 or 3 seed. It'll be amazing.
Yep.
They're a good football team.
Face the, I don't know, the Commanders.
They'll probably get the Commies or maybe the Giants. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have a tough game in the second round.
So yep. Yep.
Might even be a road game. We don't know yet, but yeah, they're good. Just let it, just enjoy the season, Brandon.
Oh, I'll enjoy it. I mean, there's
John
nothing better.
He's mad that they're good, but
he's mad. He hates it. It makes him so upset.
It's been fun looking forward to Vikings games.
Yeah, they're going to be entertaining.
Like, yeah, instead of like being like, well, it's noon on Sunday again.
Yep.
All right.
Here's
gather around the TV, family.
Yeah. And the two losses have been obvious losses from like the first 30 seconds where you could just be like, all right.
Yep, just like, this is, not their day. Whatever.
Time to go grocery shopping.
Yep. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, whatever. Just let it go. You just get on with your day. That's also been the weird part of it is that the losses haven't been gut-wrenching. They've been obvious. We got their ass kicked today, and then they go out and beat Bill Belichick 4 days later. I mean, that is
no way, man. No way.
Yeah, and John is correct. His friend Ed Donatel, he's no friend of mine. He's, but I mean, good Lord, who was the starting cornerback on Thursday night? Was Duke Shelley, which is
he just showed up in the Buffalo game, and it was like. Pass broken up by Duke Shelley and everyone.
Duke Shelley
in
like they play like 11 o'clock at Coachella on a Friday. Yeah. That's Duke Shelley. That is not a cornerback. That is just nonsense.
Even Ben Gessling was like, does somebody have a media guide that we could?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Intern. Yeah, the Vikings defense is worse this year. I just looked it up. They were like 19th. Yeah. This year and like 13th last year. I'm not going to do the actual math, but something that.
We watch them just eat shit every 2 minute warning of every game last year. We all saw them just fucking collapse. And this year, that's not happening. They're, you know, like between the 20s, they're just getting torn up. And then they, you know, stiffen up a little bit in the red zone and they do enough to keep the game close and they end up winning and it's not sustainable. Everyone knows this, but it has sustained the entire season. So you tell me.
It's weird how well their defensive plan. It's like if a baseball team put all three of their outfielders in the crowd, I was like, it's hard to hit the ball. It's hard to get enough singles to score a run. Mm-hmm. everyone said, well, that's terrible. That's not. And then it just, and then it worked fine. They rush four on every play. They never blitz. They always have four or five, six, 12 deep safeties somehow. They allow Mac Jones to throw any pass he wants to, as long as it's within 20 yards of the line of scrimmage. And they just count on, like, listen, when you get down to the 15, there's going to be a lot less room behind us, and it's going to be harder to throw the ball the same way you have. So we're just going to try to hold you to a field goal, and two field goals is worth less than a touchdown. So that's what we're going to do. It's,
and we've got obscenely talented guys at our skill positions, and we'll get touchdowns and you get field goals, and that, you know, we have, this is, it's basically NBA three-pointer worship is what they're doing. They're scoring touchdowns and their team's kicking field goals, and it works out to their benefit by the end of the game.
I need to correct myself. I was looking at the wrong numbers here. If you go by yards per game, last year we were 30th.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh. This year we are 31st.
Oh
my goodness.
No, not
those great. Bad games. Terrible. Bad.
That's terrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and that's not a perfect statistic.
They've given up the second most yards in the NFL, and they're 9-2
per game. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. They could clinch a playoff spot this weekend, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, barely December. Let's be honest. They already have clinched a playoff spot. Oh, yeah, they won the NFC North.
Yeah.
They could forfeit the remaining games, and they would absolutely, as long as the other teams were required to play, they absolutely have enough wins to win the NFC North.
Yeah, they will go into those like two games at the end of the year where they're at Chicago and at Green Bay. That's, I mean, maybe you'll see a couple starters, maybe you won't.
Imagine the Vikings playing Chicago in a game that means nothing to Chicago and not having the Vikings lose and miss the playoffs for some reason.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that happened about 5 years in a row where, wow, yeah. Chicago's not nothing to play for. All the Vikings need to do is get a win in this one, and they lost 24-3. Yep.
Pretty much. Giving Henry Burris his career highlight. You know, just these Peter Tom Willis gashes him for three touchdowns.
Mike Tomczak just running for daylight. Oh,
you can't stop Tomczak when he wants it, man. You know that.
No, he is a gamer. Do you want to guess what Stu's favorite website, 538, thinks the percentage chance that the Vikings win the Super Bowl? Temper your expectations.
3%.
10%.
3%.
All right. You guys are me in the middle. 6%.
Oh, that's better than I thought.
That seems about right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still don't see how they beat Philadelphia. I don't see how they get out of the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be like the Bengals were last year. Get in the playoffs and get lucky.
See what happens.
Let Kansas City do stupid shit because they get cocky at home, and then sneak up on them and win.
So the Bengals made the Super Bowl. Made the Super Bowl, and their quarterback got sacked 42 times in every playoff game.
Mm-hmm. Seriously. And then in the Super Bowl, got sacked 43 times.
Yeah.
Just Aaron Donald literally lined up in the backfield the entire second half.
Just lining up behind the quarterback, hitting him with the helmet. He had his helmet off, just beating Joe Burrow with his helmet before the snap. Not called.
But yeah, I know. If anything, this weird 9-2 season should tell you, like, get in the playoffs just to see what fucking happens.
Yep. Well, they're doing
I know
that.
What happens when the Vikings are in the playoffs. You don't have to tell me that.
But I also know what happens when they have a shitty defense, but they're still 9-2. It's just weird shit happens.
It's a found money season for sure, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. It was unexpected, except by me, because I predicted they would finish 8-7 or something like that. So I was the optimist of the podcast.
You predicted, I think, 9-8.
Last time we did a podcast, you predicted they'd win 2 out of 3 against Buffalo, Dallas, and New England. And I yelled at you.
You should have. It was a dumb thing to say. Despite being right, it was a dumb thing to say.
Man.
So, yeah. And now, yeah, they got through that, and now it's – you know, they can coast pretty much. I think they have to have accepted that they're not going to catch Philly, because Philly's just, man, they're good.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be pretty funny if
they fucking like gave them everything they could, and Green Bay sucks.
They even pulled Rodgers and they still couldn't quite win.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's a good team, and the AFC is loaded.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's been fun. It's been a fun season. They've got it's kind of a top heavy year.
I mean, every kid that we, I mean, all the kids, I mean, I assume Brandon's kids are like this. Justin Jefferson is a Minnesota Viking.
Oh yeah.
That's just,
they love him.
That is so fun. And it's just, it's cool. They're a fun team to watch. The games are entertaining as hell, even though by the fourth quarter, you're like on your second pack of cigarettes and you don't even remember when you went out to get cigarettes because you don't smoke. But it's every game is like that. Mm-hmm. And, but it's entertaining. It's fun. And I'm glad it's happening. It has helped salve the wound that was a disappointing Gophers football season, a disappointing start to the Wild season, and whatever the fuck is going on at the Timberwolves. And if you want to use that as your transition, Brandon, you certainly can.
Yeah. Yep. That's fine.
Here it comes.
Okay. I'm going to put myself on rant probation. You know that I'm not allowing myself to freely talk about what has happened with the, goddamn Minnesota Timberwolves this season. I, even as a pessimist, never saw this outcome coming, being this bad and miserable to watch. So, I mean, a little bit of rocky start, totally get it. Gobert's like, you know, he like commands a lot of attention and space, and you got to play a little bit differently around a guy like that. He's not super versatile, whatever. He's been very good, but he's just a little bit of a quirky player. So I expected a little bit of growing pains, but man, even as someone who lived through some shit, I did not think it'd be this bad. This is really bad. And now Towns is out for 6 weeks. So
Brandon, why are they so disinterested in every game? They look like they've been sentenced to a term of playing basketball for the Timberwolves.
Yep. Yep, there's no way that Rudy Gobert is this terrible of a human being that they all just became shitty people just by being around him. So I don't really know. That is probably the million-dollar question, John. But, you know, it hasn't even been Gobert that's been the problem. He's been fine, and Towns has been fine. Edwards has been very bad.
What has happened?
He's bad. And D'Lo has been just as bad. You know, there's a bench guys that all have promise, but they're good once every three games. You know, Jalen Noel will have a good game and then two awful games. And Naz Reid does the same. And Jaden McDaniels hasn't done much. Now they've all been injured. So it's just really, really bad times. And the thing that sucks so bad about it is like, you know, yes, there's like a future outcome here where we're kind of laughing at over analyzing 20 games or whatever, but it just looks immediately like, nope, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. Karl Anthony Towns is not trying to guard. He shouldn't be guarding power forwards. I understand he's a tricky guy though, because I am not a person who's going to like talk myself into stuff with the Timberwolves. Cause again, they usually make really bad decisions. I don't think it's that unreasonable to have watched them last season and know they've got Anthony Edwards, who's incredible, and know that Karl Anthony Towns is in his prime and he is who he is. And you had a guy who on paper seemed to fit really well against next to him with Jared Vanderbilt. You'd want to have a defensive minded rebounding forward, power forward who can play on the perimeter.
Right, right.
And they had him, and they had a pretty good season. But I think you immediately were like, well, we're never going to take the next step with Vanderbilt as our power forward. He's just a little bit too limited. We need to get somebody else next to Kat, who, again, is Vanderbilt but better. So if you're, you know, I can see the conversation happening of like, well, Gobert is Vanderbilt. He's the same fucking player. They've got 4-foot range. They rebound like hell. Like crazy, and they're good shot blockers. You could talk yourself into that. I mean, you should never have talked yourself into four fucking first round picks and three other good players for him, but you can kind of on paper, that would make some sense to me if I'm talking about constructing like a good team. And I like the philosophical, like, let's just go for it. There's no windows in the NBA that are, it's that we don't have any like trust that in 5 years from now, Edwards and Kat are still on the team, right? Like, these guys move on constantly. So going for it is fine. Trying to find an upgrade from Vanderbilt is fine. It all made at least enough sense to try, but man, the on-court product has been awful. It has been so bad to watch. And again, like Ant and D'Lo are, I think, the actual main culprits and just the obvious, like, not a fit.
Right.
So I have no idea what they do or where they go from here. Just yeah. Really, really bad.
They're
vibes.
Out. They're out of things to do. They already made all their moves at once.
Well, there's you can get out of the Gobert trade by trading him on to somebody else and just going, yeah. Well, we
for
gave
one
up four.
First round pick?
Now we get two. Or I mean, you can get more for him. He's still a really good player, and I think other teams know that. You could get rid of Towns because you have tried it with him, and, I mean, he is, like, one of the world's biggest pains in the asses on the planet. But still, then you're – I don't know. I'd love to just go, Ant, what do you need, bud? You fucking suck right now. You should be really good. You're the future of this organization. What's going on, bud?
In the space of like 6 months, he went from the most popular athlete in Minnesota to your drunkest, most cynical uncle who thinks that the NFL is fixed. He seems like he really hates whatever he's doing.
Yep. So if it's like, hey, man, I just don't have any space to operate with Gobert. Okay, cool. Let's get rid of Gobert. Fuck it. We tried it. We'll get two first round picks from the Knicks. Off we go. Whatever. I don't know what the trade would be. I'm just making shit up. I can't imagine he'd be like, no, I actually love Gobert and I don't like Towns. That would be weird to me, but I don't know. I mean, you're basically going to have to play out this season, I think. As you mentioned, like, I don't think you're going to do any immediate panic trades. Their trade value is going to be similar at the end of the year. So maybe you just have a down year. It's an adjustment. I worry that they're going to get antsy and, I don't know, panic trade or get rid of Finch, which seems bad. So it's... Finch,
I mean, this is pretty common for every Timberwolves coach ever. But that dude just looks haunted on the sideline now.
He does.
That same look that every Timberwolves coach eventually develops. Their soul leaves their body, mm-hmm. and they just stand there on the sideline. Your mouth slightly open, just staring like a 1,000-yard stare. They're looking at the game, but they're not looking at the game. It's just it's the same look that every Timberwolves coach mm-hmm. ever has eventually had.
You know, this is the weirdest one, though, because I think we would always for the basically entirety of our like adult Wolves watching experience, the through line has always been Glenn Taylor, right? Like, man, how do we keep changing coaches and GMs and players and they're still miserable? We go, well, we know why, because he keeps making a bad decision with this. This is not that anymore. We don't have that one to fall on. This is a brand new ownership group, a brand new GM, a brand new coach, all new players. And we had two fun seasons. And now it all already has gone to shit. We didn't even get a few years in a row of, like, you know, decent competition. Like, just and we talked about this. Was like, yeah, let's just run it back, man, for at least 2 years. Let's just run it back, see what happens.
Right.
And again, I understand why nobody really wants to just run it back because they get so nervous that windows close early and yada, yada, yada. Like, how long do we think OKC was going to, you know, they were going to be a juggernaut. They had like three good seasons and then dudes were just like, nope, fuck it. I'm out of here. So I get all that. But man, it just sucks that it feels, again, it's November. We're recording this. It just already feels over. Isn't that crazy? The whole season feels over. They're 10-11. It's not that big of a deal, right. But oh boy. John, I had a game I wanted to play with you. I don't know if I want to call it a game, actually, an exercise. I want you to rank this current iteration of the Gobert Wolves, I'll call them, in vibes compared to the Wolves of our history. There have been, I have written down 10 eras of the Wolves.
Okay.
And I want you to say where these rank of those 10. And I'm going to go in order of best to worst vibes. So, and this are all pretty loose, right? Because guys get shuffled off and get injured midseason. But just generally speaking, 10 eras. Era number one, obviously, is the Garnett, Cassell, Sprewell, big three right. run, Western Conference Finals, top ranked, number one Wolves era.
The vibes weren't perfect, but they were good.
Just like the most fun you and I had watching the Wolves.
Right. They almost won. The farther we get from this, the more shocking it is to look back at the Timberwolves franchise history and be like, they almost won 60 games in a single year. 60.
Yep.
They've had four seasons put together where they didn't win 60.
They sure as fuck have, John. As I look through the basketball reference this evening, 5 minutes before we started, they have had some bad years, and we're going to get to them.
Yeah.
And we can quibble with rankings, so you can tell me what order. I'm going to say my number two favorite era was the two prior seasons of Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns with that very fun playoff run. That's the second one.
What about when Kevin Love's vibes were at an all-time high and Ricky Rubio was around?
Okay, we're getting to that soon. My third is KG's seven straight years of first-round exits.
That's third?
I have that third because it was 7 years. It was a nice era, and it was fun to be in the playoffs every single year. And I have Rubio, the Rubio Love honeymoon era is what I'm calling it, as our fourth-ranked vibe. And the only reason is because it really was just – it was 2 years, really, and then Rubio got hurt. But it's really kind of just the one season. It was a great season. So do you think should be third-ranked?
Well, I think that would be above – my memory of those seven straight playoff losses was it was mostly like it was like every year of the Minnesota Wilds franchise. Like, okay, they're good ish, but they're never going to beat anybody decent.
But the first couple years had to be great, don't you think?
The first time they made the playoffs, that was amazing. But then every year they lost to the Spurs in the playoffs 42 years in a row.
Yep.
It felt like. And it seemed like, they're never going to get any better.
Okay, so I will reorder that. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm thinking in real time here. The original, when they had Garnett and Marbury and Tom Gugliotta, those teams had great vibes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm putting those all kind of in the same
thing.
That's
included. All right, I can see them in number three.
Okay. And we also have to point out, whether it's third or fourth, the Rubio Love the honeymoon is what I'm calling it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just call it fourth. Is the fourth best era of a professional franchise?
They won
it was
absolutely
one season.
Nothing.
They did not even make the playoffs.
Right.
That was bad. Okay. Number five. The Butler Tibbs affair.
Those vibes were deeply, deeply screwed up.
Yeah, it was a little goof, but that's how bad the Timberwolves have been.
The fact that this is in the top half is pretty bad.
They went to the playoffs. They won a playoff game against a very good team. Yes, but they were not that fun to watch. And it obviously imploded really quickly. Number six was the KG Dwayne Casey post Cassell.
That's number six.
Number six. Number seven, the post
Mark
Butler.
Madsen launching threes. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler, Ryan Saunders years, Towns was around. They were fine, but they were really bad. They're really, really bad. The eighth was the post KG Al Jefferson as the savior. The bench.
That would have been my pick for number 10. Those were bad years.
Number nine is the pre KG Wilderness. 89 through 94, all kind of the same.
The Timberwolves were
sucked.
Terrible. They were terrible in the Bill Musselman era, but the vibes were great. Like when they were in the Metrodome, everybody loved the Timberwolves. They were bad, but everybody loved them.
I mean, they were really bad. 15
they
wins,
were bad.
19 wins,
yeah,
20 wins, 21
those
wins.
Those first two seasons, they had 29 and 26 or something like that.
22 and 29.
People loved those teams. They weren't good, but people loved Pooh Richardson.
Okay. All right. I'll consider moving, splitting those into two different eras.
Right.
And moving one up. And number 10 is obviously the two Kurt Rambis years.
Oh, God.
The lowest of the low. There was never going to be anything as
those
fucking
might
miserable
be, that
as
might
Kurt
be the,
Rambis.
That might be the nadir for any franchise. In any professional sport, not just the Timberwolves, but that might be as low as it gets for any franchise. I don't see how it could be worse.
The Montreal Expos lost their franchise when they were actually good. There.
That was pretty bad. The worst thing.
They lost by an average of 10 points a game. An average of 10 points a game in 2009. It's almost impossible.
How many games did they win that year?
15.
15. In one season, they won 15 games. Not a strike shortened season, as I recall.
No. No, John. Oof. Not a strike shortened season. The guys who got the most minutes, Corey Brewer, Al Jefferson, Jonathan Flynn, Ryan Gomes, and Ramon Sessions.
Wow.
Oh.
This is the Conn years. This was Rubio was drafted, but hadn't come over yet. There is never, okay. So that was going to be, that was 10 errors, which I think I will go back and do some editing and maybe we'll turn this into 11 or 12 errors. We have not ranked yet where we think the Gobert era. No? What do you think? Gobera? Nah. I don't like it.
Here's the thing. This is terrible, but they're still above Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
So I hate to think that this is the glory years. This is as good as it's gonna get for a while, but this is in the top half for sure. This is above Jimmy Butler still. As depressing it as it is. That vibes wise, that year was deeply, deeply off.
Yeah. Yep. I know. But they won 48 games. It wasn't like.
Yeah. Did you enjoy any of them?
I had.
That's
to
not true. That last one where they beat the Nuggets, that game 82 where they beat the Nuggets, that was exciting.
Well, and I went to the Rockets home playoff game. It was incredible. Never forget it. So, yeah, there were moments. But there were way fewer than you'd expect from a 48-win team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they almost missed the playoffs. You're right. Jesus Christ. That'd be like eighth or ninth if that's what happened. All that for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
One nice strip by Gorgie Jang or somebody.
Good old Greg Doritos.
Oh, it was Taj. Taj Gibson that did it. Yeah.
How did we never have a nickname for Taj?
So good to begin with.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Stu, are you still there?
This is like all trauma response for me now. I had to like go into it. I had to like just, there's white noise going on inside my head right now. The minute Brandon said Ryan Gomes, I just went away.
That'll do it. Okay. Yeah. So more to come on this. I'm very nervous for the next 6 weeks. It's about 20 games. They could be just well out of it. And obviously, they're not going to tank. So they're not going to be shutting the season down and giving up, which we have seen so many seasons before where like in mid-January, it's like, well, never mind. So they will be playing hard. Well, use sarcastic air quotes by hard because they don't actually play hard to begin with. But they will keep playing their players, I think, for most of the season. So all that said, very, very sad. Before we go, do we want to talk any Wild?
No.
I'm going to say no.
There's just nothing. Nothing.
There's just
nothing going right now.
Yeah.
Well, we got some podcasts coming up this December. Maybe we can talk about them then.
Yeah, I'm around. Let's do this.
So am I. I got nothing but time.
Nothing but time. The nothing old empty nest life.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume we don't
want to talk. I got time tomorrow. Actually, no, I got trivia tomorrow night, so never mind.
Oh man, I love trivia.
Yep, get to I go to a bar and drink beer with my pals.
That does sound good.
What a concept.
Yep. Sorry, but I'm sure your dance practice and your basketball practice will be fine. It'll be great. Have fun.
Mm-mm-mm. My kid's going to the Wolves game tomorrow. I'm going to coach his team's basketball practice without him.
Disaster.
Jeez.
Yeah. Good I won't be yelling at my own kid though.
Good dad, better coach.
Yeah, right.
I got it. Brandon, you posted something the other day where you were having a bullpen session on Black Friday. And it was honestly, I saw that I was holding my phone. I saw that. And that was the moment I realized that my children will never be successful athletes. Because I was like, I don't even know where I would go to do a bullpen session on Black Friday, much less have the wherewithal or the energy to pull it off. There's no way I would be doing that.
Oh, man. You got to find yourself like, is there a community center, like a Roseville Community Center or Shoreview or something that's just kind of got like.
Mall. The Roseville Community Center is the mall.
Yeah, there's an abandoned linen and things that you can go into if you know how to use the if you have a crowbar. If you got a crowbar, every place can be your pitching mound.
The hot there's topic. Forever 2011.
Nobody goes in there anymore. You can throw in the aisle all day if you want.
Yeah, there's a community center in Minnetonka that we have reciprocity with, so we can go there from time to time. And there's a full basketball court that sometimes is just like, yeah, there's nobody there. And then right behind it's a area for batting practice and bullpens. And if no one's there, you just like have at it. It's incredible. If you can have that, like that, there's nothing better than that.
There's also like a half price books in Invergrove Heights. It's an active crime scene. And just go under the tape.
At all times. It's an active crime scene.
It's been active for a while.
No pepper.
It's not, it's gone from being an occasional scene of crimes to a destination for crimes.
Yes.
Crime destination.
A regional destination. Gonna commit a crime? Come to Invergrove Heights. Right off Highway 52.
Oh, man.
Stop at the Walmart and then hit the crime center.
Hit the crime center. Oh boy. Writing something down. Okay, well that should be good. Let's do this again soon, my friends.
Yeah, I'm around.
Are we ever going to talk about how the Gopher football team loses two games they shouldn't every single year now?
No, because I want to go to bed, and that's 20 more minutes minimum right now.
Good idea.
You're so goddamn wound up about this, John. We cannot.
Let's just leave it alone. Really, we need a whole separate podcast series where I just complain about every Gopher sport for an hour straight, and then we record it, and then we drop it in the trash on the computer, and no one ever hears it.
It's like Creed's thoughts from The Office.
It's
like
Creed's
we
thoughts
record
from The Office
with you, and but it's,
John's
there's
Gopher
no
stuff.
Microphone.
It's pretty shocking, even for the internet.
Oh, boy. All right, cool. I'm going to press stop on this podcast. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.